Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I'm looking at a global news story from October of last year. Canadians lose sleep, worrying about money. Young adults especially. RBC poll. Let me read a few lines. Canadians of all ages are feeling the pinch of inflation, but it seems that the current cost of living crisis is having a particularly heavy impact on the mental health of younger adults, according to a poll commissioned by RBC. 40% of Canadian adults reported losing sleep, worrying about money, a fact that may not come as a surprise, as food bank usage hits an all-time high, and more Canadians report going into debt to keep their heads above rising waters. But looking at responses from just millennials, categorized as ages 27 to 42 in this poll, that number rises to 53%, having a difficult time sleeping, the highest out of all age cohorts. People in Generation Z, or Z, ages 18 to 26, also reported a high incidence of sleep disruption at 48% for Gen Xers. That's ages 43 to 58. The numbers was 43%. And then there's this line. A report from the Mental Health Commission of Canada. I'm not looking for the spectacular. I'm just telling you what's going on. A report from the Mental Health Commission of Canada following the 2008 recession affirmed that unemployment and financial problems are a key risk for suicide. And when the economy turns down, incidents of depression and anxiety rise. Okay. Let's talk to Sean Simpson. Sean is very familiar with the polling. He does so much of it on this issue for Ipsos Public Affairs, where he's a vice president. And Sean, in the email, thank you for joining us in the email you sent me the other day. Your feeling is, and Daryl Bricker's as well, the situation has, if anything, only worsened since that poll of last October. Can you put it into perspective for us, please?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Roy. The truth is that the financial health of Canadians has been steadily deteriorating over the last couple of years, and the people who are taking it on the chin the most are, in fact, younger Canadians, where if we look at whether they're thriving or surviving or sinking, essentially, we have more of them who feel like they're sinking and they're falling behind than are doing well and thriving.
And it affects every aspect of their life. One of the aspects in the story is that personal relationships are suffering because people are so involved with the challenging realities of dealing with the financial situations. So a healthy, happy relationship can turn into something other than that.
Yeah. Yes, and it's not just relationships. It's not just mental health, but now we're actually beginning to see correlations in our data between financial health and physical health, because that stress and that worry is having such a significant impact, particularly for younger people, that it is starting to wear on them physically as well. And you did mention younger people, most concerned, most likely to be losing sleep. And heaven help you if you have children in the household, because we know from our polling for Global News that nearly two-thirds of parents with kids in the household worry about being able to put food on the table in these times of inflation and financial difficulty.
Yeah, that points to the food banks issue, with the food banks no longer being able to keep up with the demand. And even in affluent communities, that's happening. Sean, is there a sense of optimism, or are people just down in the dumps at this point?
In fact, there is more pessimism than optimism. And that really is the difference between now and the height of the pandemic. If we ask Canadians how they feel about the economy, their own personal financial situation, it very much mirrors sort of the end of March or spring of 2020, when the world was shut down, when a lot of young people were out of jobs because the service industry was shut down, etc. But in 2020, people were optimistic that, you know, they were in the trough and that things were going to get better. Current assessment now is similar to what it was 4 years ago, but that future outlook is more negative now than it was, meaning that people do not believe that the worst of it is now, but yet the worst is yet to come.
Sean, thank you for the time. Appreciate talking to you.
My pleasure, Roy.
Sean Simpson, Vice President at Ipsos Public Affairs. The majority of Canadians, certainly that I speak to, and I think the polling shows it, are in favor of the carbon tax disappearing, even though you're told that the rebate really covers, for most people, more than the carbon tax charges. That's just not true. And who told us that? The Parliamentary Budget Officer told us that. Middle-class Canadians are going to lose in the carbon tax versus rebates equation. And then there's the email from, if you haven't heard this before, have a listen if you have. I've had so many requests to read it again. There's the email from our listener we're calling George. Not his real name. And I suspect he's listening. Have a look at the email that I sent you, sir, and I'd like to speak with you on the air about this email you sent. It's really, really resonating. He sent it first to Jagmeet Singh, then to Justin Trudeau. Stephen Guilbeault is on the list. Chrystia Freeland is on the list. CC, Roy Green, Pierre Poilievre. He writes, "Honorable members, I've reached out many, many times before, but now we're pretty much caved in financially. Even after I've been working almost 60 hours overtime a month, just to keep my family warm this winter and eat $1 noodle cups. Stop the attack on the lower and middle class. Just stop it, please. I thought that Jagmeet was the voice and support of the working class. No longer. Please, stop. 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 Driving us into oblivion. Learn what it means to pump a tank of gas and go to a grocery store. You are horrible custodians of our country, and you should all be fired. Scrap the carbon tax on home heating everywhere. Absolutely disgusting. No sense of reality for everyday Canadians. Please resign. If your pensions haven't vested at the cost of almost 40 million Canadians having been decimated financially," brackets Jagmeet. 1-800-263-2428 is my number. 1-800-263-2428. Phone lines are open. There's one left. They've already filled as we've been talking. Tanya in Surrey, British Columbia. Thank you for calling, Tanya.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for asking. Let me ask you, how are you?
I don't know what to do. I'm a poor communicator. Let me start there. My mind right now today is so all over the world with everything that's happening. And I do worry about you and what you've been going through. You are on my mind constantly.
Thank you.
Right now, we live in British Columbia with David Eby, the conspirator and the money laundering with Justin Trudeau, him. And the guy who won't let nurses and doctors go back to work because somehow non-symptomatic people can transmit this illness. And then come the end of June, you do realize he's going to make opticians, optometrists, dentists, ophthalmologists, naturopaths, psychiatrists, and dentists all be vaccinated in order to keep their jobs. And while I'm speaking with you, I'm speaking with a whistleblower nurse. I call her that because she feeds me information and she's terrified. But she just said, "I'm so angry that they made me do this, that they coerced me into doing this." And my neighbors out front here, they're just telling me they're dropping like flies. I'm at my cabin this weekend.
Tanya, let me ask you to just I appreciate what you've just said, okay? I really do. But I want you to comment on George's email as well. where he talks about the great distress. Somebody who's this family's caved in financially, quote unquote. He writes, even if after I've been working almost 60 hours overtime a month just to keep my family warm this winter and eat $1 noodle cups, stop the attack on the lower and middle class. Just stop it, please, is what he writes.
I totally agree. I'm reading. Fortunately, my husband has a job and we're doing okay. I'm 62. He's 67 and still working.
I get it. I get it. I get it. That's more and more the case. Are you concerned? Because we just heard from Sean Simpson in the polling that was done for RBC. It's young adults who are mostly concerned. But do you find yourself at 62 and your husband at 67? Do you find yourselves significantly concerned?
If he retires, we'll have an income around $36,000 a year.
You're concerned. You're concerned.
For two of us, right?
Yeah.
But we do have assets that we could sell and be okay. But we shouldn't have to do that at our age group.
No, you shouldn't. Tanya, thank you very much for the call. 800-263-2428, Steve in Hamilton, Ontario. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Roy. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Good enough.
So now that we've taken care of the pleasantries, what's the reality for you? What do you get when you hear George's email, when you hear Axe the Tax, when you hear the Premier of British Columbia saying that Polyev's just come communicating from the baloney factory? What do you get from that?
I get a chuckle. He's got a little phrase going on, but all I got to say is I agree with the email that George sent in. It's hard. It's getting harder, and it's not going to get any easier. My advice to that empty boxhead Trudeau, just call an election and you'll find out how unpopular you are. Just call an election.
Yeah, he's not sure of the message, right? On the one hand, he says he's there to take care of Canadians' present and future. But on the other hand, he says he's considering retirement each and every day. So you were getting mixed messages from the Prime Minister. Steve, thank you very much for the call. Dan is in Chatham, Ontario. Dan called us last hour. Dan, thank you for being so patient with us.
I'm a long-time loyal listener between you and good old Charles Adler. I've been listening to you for well over a decade and a half.
Yeah.
Anyways, what makes me sick, because at my age, I'm not quite your age, but I remember this back in the late 70s with his dad, and this is like Groundhog Day 2. We're reliving this, tax and squander, tax and squander, and they say, we're doing this for your own good. We have to, don't you want us to stop the climate change? You got a tiny little population of 40 million people, and there's 8 billion people on the planet polluting, and they want to rob people of taxes while he throws away money to foreign aid. Not the wars, but foreign aid for this and that, all this other nonsense. And you have people in this country that are living outside in tents. This is how bad it's gotten. And will they ever learn? He will remain in power as long as brainwashed and drunk on his own power, and our beloved CBC continues to back him up. And a lot of people in this country think what he's doing is righteous.
You know, Dan, I don't know if it's still going on, but a few years ago, Canada was still sending something in the neighborhood of $50 million in foreign aid to the People's Republic of China.
Yeah.
With that massive economy of theirs, which is dominating the world as far as exports were concerned anyway, you know, because we shipped all the jobs over there, many jobs, millions of jobs. We were still sending foreign aid to China, little Canada with our tiny population. You know, geographically, we're immense. But population-wise, we're tiny. We're sending foreign aid to China, Dan.
You look at a lot of stuff. Remember back in the good old days, everything was made in Canada.
Yeah. I got you.
Everything is cheap, made in China. Everything you buy today.
Okay.
Pathetic.
Buddy, I got to go. Thank you very much. David in Edmonton. David, thanks for calling. Hello, David.
Hi, Roy. I'm glad you're doing better, or at least holding out.
Thank you.
Foreign aid to China, of course. We were helping them.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
In our economy.
It's just ridiculous. We're tanking and we're giving them money.
Yeah. But getting back to what you were talking about, my recent tax bill was for natural gas, $258. The carbon tax on it was almost $72. That's more than a quarter of it. And this idiot is standing there trying to make an impression on the international audience. And what we're doing, destroying our own economy, is only a spit in the ocean. It's a waste of time. It's destroying our standard of living. I'm fortunate I'm retired, so and I don't have a mortgage or anything like that. But even our little local food bank is already appealing for help. And we're only in March. And normally you only hear that at Christmas and, you know, the holidays.
Food banks across the country.
Yeah.
Are struggling.
And I feel sorry.
Food banks across. But, you know, you can be comfortable and sanguine in the knowledge that Canada is on its way to becoming the first post-national state. That's what he said 6 days into his tenure as prime minister. Told that to the New York Times. You know, I would love to debate Mr. Trudeau. I give him 3 hours anytime he wants to come into the studio. We can sit down. We can talk. I doubt we'll get past question number three.
You won't get him to debate you because he's much better as a drama teacher making dramatic statements.
Yeah.
Don't
I like that, though.
Do anything.
I'd enjoy the conversation. Thank you, David, in Edmonton. Really appreciate it.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.